lovely dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to open up the truth of his sacred word to each of our hearts. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the chapter we read in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verses 26 and 27. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. These two verses, which are quite well known in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verses 26 and 27. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. These are the words of Moses, the man of God, whom he called to lead his people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt unto the land of Canaan. Dear friends, what a journey that was for them. They only came to that end of the journey because of the goodness, the mercy, and the long-suffering of their God. These are really the last words of Moses, aren't they? Of course, we read at the very beginning of the next chapter how God called him to go up the Mount Nebo. And the servant, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there, according to the word of the Lord. And he was buried in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, and no man knows where he's buried. Oh, we do pray. Oh, we do pray that, dear friends, when we are called to the end of our days, for we all have to come to taking our last breath, even as Moses did, that we're buried as and we die as one with the Lord. And we do pray that, oh, between now and then, he will lead us by the right way, a way where we can die in hope of eternal life. Moses, the man of God, blessed each one of the tribes of Israel, the sons of Jacob. Dear friends, it seems to have been the custom, wasn't it, in those days, as it was with Jacob himself, when he died. He blessed his sons. He spoke to them of those things which he trusted and hoped and prayed and expected would come to happen. There was revelation of the Lord to his people. We read of Isaac blessing his sons, but Jacob usurped, didn't he? His elder brother Esau, and obtained the blessing which Isaac had for his son, his eldest son. But the blessing was of God for his younger son. Nothing takes place in the power of man, even in the blessings that they may utter. He says God would help and apply those things which are spoken. And so it was here with Moses, speaking concerning the tribes of Israel. I don't know if you noticed, but Simeon wasn't mentioned. There are the tribes of the sons of Jacob, but Simeon is absent. There's a lot of thought as to why that was. It was at that time when, on the borders of Canaan, the promised land, that the tribe of Simeon was very instrumental in the sin of Israel, with fornication and whoredom with the daughters of Midian. And the priest came in and slew that one, a Simeonite, who took a Midianite woman into his tent, and so a plague which God sent was stayed. We do not know why Moses left out Simeon. Was it because of that recent great sin? Or was it because his lot? He was spread out in the word of God. He was within the lot of Judah. He was surrounded by Judah. And so perhaps the blessing of Judah applied to Simeon also. But dear friends, whatever the reason, here was the blessing that Moses spoke to each of the tribes. And following the blessing of each of the individual tribes, he comes to our text, which is a general aspect of his blessing to them all. There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. Dear friends, if it wasn't so, Moses would never have been able to proclaim those blessings upon each of the tribes of what would come to pass, how they would be helped to gain the promised land and overcome those that dwelt there at that time. There's none like the God of Jeshurun. Now, there's none like God. There is only one God. And this was the God of his people, Jeshurun. You children at school, you may be taught nothing about creation, the work of God in the beginning, as if there is no God who has made all things. And yet, God, there is only one God. There is only one living God, who is the creator of all things, of heaven and of earth. And if it wasn't for God and his mercy, none of us would be here today. The scripture tells us each to remember our creator in the days of our youth. Remember that we are subject to the power of God, to the will of God, and therefore we should believe and fear God and seek to do what is right in his sight. It's solemn, isn't it, when you are taught about the formation of the world and all creatures of it, as if it's evolved by itself. Oh, the ignorance and the power of evil of Satan affecting the minds of so many, when it's so evident that things could not exist without the power of God, the eternal God, no beginning, no ending, and created all things from nothing in accordance with his power. We've only got to look at the springtime, haven't we? And we see the flowers and the bees and the butterflies. You know, none of those could exist without them being made together, formed together. Where the flowers depend upon those bees and those butterflies to take the pollen and to fertilize other flowers so that they produce seeds that others can grow in due time. And the bees and the taking the pollen and taking the nectar and use for their own food. And they're dependent upon each other, though completely separate. And when you think of those butterflies, they begin as a little egg, a fertilized egg which becomes a caterpillar. A caterpillar then grows, feeding on a leaf. It has to have the food. And into a chrysalis. And then that grows and then bursts open in due time to be again another butterfly. How could that happen by accident? How could that happen just by a natural evolving of one form and another? Impossible. It's the hand of God. The evidence is all around us. And all we find, don't we, written, as Paul writes to the Hebrews, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, that means formed, by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Things hasn't made themselves. It's the power of God. This God of Jeshurun. Now who is Jeshurun? Jeshurun means upright. Ones who are righteous in the sight of God. They are his people. Oh, we read only once more at Jeshurun outside of this chapter in Deuteronomy. And that is in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. I have chosen. A chosen people to be made righteous in the sight of a holy God. Then, dear friends, when we think of Jeshurun and to know that we're all born sinners, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, no one has to teach us how to sin, do they? Yet there's a righteousness which is acceptable to God in a people. Jeshurun, righteous, chosen, upright before him. And that is through the gift of his Son. The only way, the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price demanded by the law which God gave through Moses to his people. That law which is broken. That law under which they are condemned to eternal damnation. Christ bore those sins, paid the price demanded by the law for them, and rose again, having put away their sin, that they would be righteous, acceptable in the sight of God. Well, what a precious gospel we find, don't we, throughout the scriptures. There's none like the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. Dear friends, it searches us out, doesn't it? Are we of Jeshurun? Do we know that call by his grace? Have we found grace in his sight? For that will have had an effect upon our hearts. He will turn us away from the love of the world. Yes, we have to deal with the world. We have our duties, responsibilities. We have our life in this world. Oh, but the love of the world, the vanities of this earthly life regarding the salvation of our soul will not lead us to heaven, will it? And we are bound by the sinfulness of our nature, of our hearts, the darkness of them. The scripture says we are born dead in trespasses and in sins. And if we are dead, we have no power to do anything at all, have we? Not for the good of our souls. Spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, he has a people whom he forms for his praise, Jeshurun. In the context of our reading this morning, looking at the sons of Jacob. Oh, dear friends, what sinners they were. But he loved them. We read it at the beginning, didn't we? Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in his hand. Friends, we cannot fathom, can we, the depth of the love of God and through the gift of his Son, Christ. That love for a people, a sinful people. We may try to meditate upon it. The love of God to give his only begotten Son. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to suffer, bleed and die in the stead of his people who could not save themselves from their sins. What an agony that must have been as he was made like unto his brethren. Flesh, blood, had the same senses as we have. Pain and suffering. And, dear friends, innocent. Innocent of any sin at all. And yet having that agonizing death as if he was the chief of sin. Oh, that's what our Paul the Apostle described himself, didn't he? The chief of sinners. Yet all his sins were carried. Even those murderous things he did to those who loved God in his younger days. All those sins were laid upon Jesus as he poured out his soul unto death. Oh, there's a hymn, isn't there, on such love my soul still ponder. Love so great, so rich, so free. And it was only through this love that the sons of Jacob, the congregation of Jacob as they're called, came through that wilderness journey. They didn't come through bread only, through that which their Lord gave them for the sustenance of their bodies. Yes, it was needful, and so was the water to drink, that they had strength to physically pass through that wilderness. But they lived not by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now, dear friends, at times that was a solemn word. It was a word of judgment. It was a word of chastening. It was a word that condemned many because of their unbelief. Those who despised the ways of their God. Oh, dear friends, how solemn to be in such a state as that. We all know the things of God and of Jesus. We've had the Holy Word before us. We come to his house. We hear the gospel proclaimed. Oh, those Israelites knew what it was to be delivered from Egypt, redeemed by that mighty hand. And yet when things went contrary to their flesh, they rebelled against God, desired to return back into Egypt, complained that Moses himself had set him up as the leader, and he had took too much upon himself when he was appointed of God. And so, dear friends, the Lord dealt very solemnly with them. And all those that came out of Egypt of a certain age when they refused to go into the land of Canaan and take it when the Lord told them to, their faith failed, they had no faith. Oh, they saw the difficulties and dangers of going into Canaan. They saw the Anakites were there, and the Amalekites, and the walls of the city so high. It was impossible, they said, to take the land of Canaan. There was no trust in their God who had delivered them from Egypt. And none of those at that time came into the promised land. They all died in the wilderness over those next 40 years. Oh, dear friends, this brings us, doesn't it, to fear God, who is the same. He doesn't change. How solemn it is, isn't it, when we feel and know in our hearts rebellion against the hand of God, the way of God, the leadings of God that come upon us. And in our pathway of life. That's why we need his help. His help to be saved from his judgment. For the Lord looks down from heaven, doesn't he? He beholds all the children of men. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. All have become filthy. Only fit to be cast out of his sight. But there's none like the God of Jeshurun. Those who have found grace in his sight, sinners that they are, still evil in their hearts as they possess, and that heart to insist that they go their own ways, to rule their own selves, to do what is right in their own eyes. There's none like the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in thy excellency on the sky. Friends, this help is deliverance, isn't it, from our sins, the power of sin, which dwells within us, which seeks to rule us constantly, day by day, hour by hour. And also, we're surrounded by temptations. Oh, we live in a wicked, evil world. And those wickednesses and evils, they do have an effect upon us. We perhaps try to compromise at times, and we do not turn away from the ways of sin as we should. Oh, but the scripture says, ye cannot serve God and mammon. For either ye will hate the one and love the other. Dear friends, we cannot continue with a divided heart, can we? So we need the Lord's help. The Lord's help to set his love within our hearts. That will overcome. To overcome the love of the world, that we love the things of God more than the other things at all. And God and Christ is our all and in all. So we look to Christ, our help, the Saviour of sinners, his pardoning love, pleading with him for pardon. Who can need it more than we? And dear friends, that help comes in the power of His Spirit, the Spirit of God, to uphold us and help us in the gift of faith, to trust in Him at all times. Those times when we are tempted to sin, those times when our hearts would so easily grieve the Spirit, when our desire is to go our own way, to have far more earthly comforts than we perhaps are permitted to have. And oh, we are plagued by jealousies and covetousness. And you know those evils in your heart, don't you? As I know them in mine. Oh, how they are stirred up by experiences in our daily life. Dear friends, we shall have them all the days of our lives. They will be our solemn possessors, our possessions, and we shall not be able to deliver ourselves from them. But the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, to commit all our way unto the Lord, to pray for His strength, to be given the strength of faith. Oh, to help us to withstand things which in a physical sense and our physical bodies and minds are against us. And to trust in Him. Oh, to look beyond the things of time, even to the things that are eternal, to which He's called us unto by His grace. That in spite of all that is against us and all we fail in and fall into, nothing removes our hope through Christ Jesus of what He's done for the salvation of our soul, to be saved from His wrath to come. Dear friends, this is a humble place, isn't it? Oh, what a lovely word that is concerning the God of Jeshurun. He who inhabits eternity, yet He dwells with those of a humble and a contrite spirit. Not a proud spirit, no. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Oh, how we need help to be kept humble, don't we? How we need help to be kept dependent upon what Christ hath done for our soul. And in the times of temptation, or when our hearts are stirred up, and perhaps faith, because of the strength of the trouble, the fiery trial which may well try us. Satan is a mighty foe. He goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and those are the Lord's people, is Jeshurun. In fact, we got no strength against him. Adam and Eve didn't, did they? And neither of you and neither have I. Oh, but we need this help. This help to withstand the times of temptation and the trial of our faith. And it's only found in one place. And that's the throne of grace, isn't it? What a place of refuge that is. The throne of grace. There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. Oh, God is a spirit, and he knows all things. He's in all places at all times. Nothing is hidden from him. The eternal God is thy refuge. There's no time, no place upon this earth when the Lord is not mindful of his people. Perhaps we come into dangers. Perhaps we come into great fears. Oh, dear friends, and we wonder what is going to take place. What did the psalmist say? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The eternal God, thy refuge. O, the preserver of your soul, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Dear friends, have we not proved it? Some of you here, I'm sure you have. Oh, to prove that at that throne of grace, as we look unto him, we receive his help. Where we receive, first of all, his mercy. Oh, we have to pray, don't we, there? We're unworthy to come before him because of our sins. But he knows the way we take. When he had tried us, all our times are in his hand. Nothing happens by chance. Even Job was tempted by Satan, but Satan was in the Lord's hand. And it was proving together for good. Oh, what a solemn state he came into. None of us have come to those depths of Job, I'm sure. But in the pathways we do walk, oh, it gives us that sweet assurance. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. In our doubts, our fears, our troubles, our sorrows, perhaps our sicknesses, our pains, in the loss of loved ones, which is bound to happen, which brings sorrow and grief. Our refuge, to commit all our way and all our matters unto the Lord, to obtain his mercy, unworthy of the least of them, but we obtain them, those mercies which endure forever, and grace to help us in the time of our need. Oh, we prove that grace is sufficient for us, gives us strength, doesn't it, to carry on. That he is mindful of us, he will not let us be overcome. Satan will not devour us. Nothing shall condemn the souls of those that are in Christ Jesus, those that look to him and trust in him at all times. Dear friends, what a saviour, spiritually and providentially, dear friends, in the temporal things of life, where we tend to fall and only add to our sins. He will not let us be tempted above what we are able to bear. Oh, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath. Oh, we sink, don't we? We sink into despair so easily, or we could do, because of things that come so contrary to us in our daily lives. I'm talking here, dear friends, about Jeshurun, those who found grace in the eyes of God, those whom he hath blessed, those whom he hath called. Oh, they desire to walk in his ways. They desire to walk uprightly before him, and oh, there's so many stumbling blocks. Our own hearts being the chief one of them, affected by Satan. But unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Oh, we read that in Jude, don't we? Unto him, able to keep you from falling into utter despair, into condemnation, into hellfire, the damnation of your soul. Unto him is able. Again, that's looking unto Jesus. The refuge underneath. You are the everlasting arms. He won't let you fall into utter despair. Those arms of his love, his redeeming love. All your names, they are engraven on the palms of his hands. Oh, that you're ever before him. He knoweth them that are his, and he will not forsake you. He will bring you safely through. We read of David, don't we? David, who was in the miry clay. He was in great trouble, whatever that trouble was. But he prayed and he watched and he waited. And he said, the Lord hath heard him, set his feet upon a rock, and established his goings, a firm foundation. That was his faith and trust in God. Oh, dear friends, his everlasting arms in our particular pathways of life. Now, you know, when there's a child young in years and perhaps one's out for a walk and the weather changes, it becomes very wet, it becomes very windy. Perhaps the pathway becomes very rough. Perhaps it becomes very wet and muddy. And what happens to that child? The loving parent picks it up. It holds it in its arms. Keeps it safe by its, in one's breast, sheltered from the storm and from that which is underfoot. But they're still making progress. That loving parent carries it in the way that it is to go to bring it safely home. Well, what do we read? It's again, isn't it, in Isaiah? Those lovely words, those lovely promise of the Lord to his people. Hearken unto me, O house of Israel, which are born, that's carried by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he. Even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. A loving Heavenly Father to his children, to carry us through the dangers and difficulties of our earthly life, the storms which we may come into, things that have to be handled and managed. We read he carries the lambs in his bosom. Oh, what love. You know, dear friends, we find, don't we, the scripture tells us that we all must be as little children in a spiritual sense. As a little child, no wisdom of our own, as it were, dependent completely on one to help us, one to lead us, one to guide us, one to carry us, one to love us, one to defend us, one to feed us, to supply all of our need. And that's what the Lord has promised. Supply all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, down to hoar hairs will I carry you. Those helps by the way, those provisions, those answers to our prayers. Dear friends, how vital they are, aren't they, to maintain us in life's pathway. Oh, we're sinners. And David had to pray, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Yes, we need correcting. A little child needs correcting to be taught the right way. And it's in love, isn't it? Well, chastening isn't pleasant, it's grievous. But in due time it brings forth the precious fruit of righteousness. So David prayed to be kept in the way everlasting, that way that leads to eternal life. Oh, there's none like the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Well, dear friends, there'll be a time when we do have to witness the power of the enemy, otherwise we wouldn't need that help, isn't there? But that time will come when the enemy will be utterly thrust out forevermore, when we land on that heavenly shore, a place determined by the Lord for his people. Oh, Psalm 107 reads of those who do business in great waters. Oh, they come to Witsend Corner, They do not know what to do, but they pray. They commit their trouble and their difficulties, their fears unto the Lord. And he delivers them and brings them to their desired haven. Now this God is our God, isn't it? To be our guide even unto death. Our God and Christ Jesus, who is God. His name, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, our text this morning is peace, isn't it? Peace for Jeshurun. Peace for the upright, those that are chosen, called by grace into the knowledge of his redeeming love. Sinners saved by his grace. There's none like the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That time will be made known, it will come, when he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, shall say, destroy them. Oh, these are brands plucked from the burning, as we read concerning Joshua the high priest, when he stood before God, Satan there to resist him. The Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. He was put to silence, for there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a Saviour. Then trust in him, dear friends, at all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Amen.